All right, let's bring this meeting to order. We have August 7th, 2012 Conservation Commission meeting upstairs in the mayor's meeting room. This meeting is being recorded. And the first item on our agenda are the approval of the meeting minutes from July 10th. Does anybody have any comments or additions, subtractions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next item is the Whittier Bridge Salt Marsh Monitoring.
Okay, this was on our agenda for the last meeting. With Mary Rimmer, Rimmer Environmental Consulting, submitted a proposal on July 16th. We had been in touch with a few other consulting companies who weren't interested in doing the work because of conflicts of interest, either existing conflicts of interest or they didn't want to work for the city and then not be able to submit proposals to the city for other things. So in any case, Mary submitted this proposal, which I think is exactly what we asked her for. It's the scope of services is a review of shading, the existing shading study that was done by the Norm Doe Associates, which is the applicant for the Whittier Bridge project, and then baseline monitoring of the existing salt marsh areas, followed by annual monitoring of the study area after construction for 3 years, and then a written report that would be submitted each September after the annual monitoring. One meeting attendance to present and discuss the findings, and then we could also ask for additional services as necessary at an hourly rate. And so, but for that original scope, the fee would be an estimate of $5,500, which we have that amount in the account. We can afford that out of the Conservation Commission fund. If you all want to make that a priority and move forward with it. So Mary would not actually be the one doing the work. She would have one of her associates do this monitoring work so that she would still be able to come before the commission on other projects.
Seems a pretty reasonable price for 5 or 6 years worth of work.
Yeah, exactly.
What else is left in the budget, given that we approved that?
I think we have close to 15,000 or so in the budget right now.
Yeah, at least.
I just wouldn't want to see that everything went there, that's all.
Yeah, no, you're right.
This would get paid over time anyway, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Over a 3 year period or so.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we'll have fees coming in that time.
Yeah. And if it shows anything amiss after 3 years?
Yeah. What does it get us?
Yeah.
$5,500
yeah.
bucks, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the goal, and I discussed this with Mary, the goal is to be able to make some kind of a determination on the cause of whatever changes may be seen in the salt marsh area. It may be that the cause is scour, and that gives us nothing. It may be that she can rule out all these other things, and that the cause could be shading impacts in their estimation, which would then allow us to move forward with some type of requested mitigation or enforcement action, because they said that there would not be shading impacts to salt marsh. So it's also possible that they will just not be able to tell what the cause is.
Do you recall what we asked them to hold, what we held their feet to the fire on with the survivals? Survivorship of the plants.
There was nothing.
It was.
Yeah.
What plants? You mean the other riverfront area plantings?
No, they were going to, where the current drain comes down and all
yep.
that scour, and they were going to
yep.
plant
yeah.
stuff there.
Yeah.
If it didn't survive, that was it. They didn't care.
But it was going to be for the warranty period.
There's a 2 year warranty on the plants, and that's what they were committing to for all of the plantings.
Okay.
So right,
that's it, yeah.
So during this period, so if she's monitoring for 3 years post construction, they could potentially be replanting failed plants in that one salt marsh area that they're planting for that time period. But they are not doing anything to the existing salt marsh area.
Right.
So, I mean, at a minimum, it's going to be an interesting, it'll be an interesting exercise. Whether or not we get anything out of it in terms of additional mitigation from Mass Highway is another question. And there may be no adverse impacts either. And then
I don't believe.
We'll have some data.
So would we want to delay the monitoring and let them do their own thing, given their quote warranty, rather than spend money while they've already said they have a warranty?
They have a warranty on the plantings that they're planting, but they're not doing anything with the existing salt marsh area, which is the area that we're concerned about. So that's they're really kind of not related in that respect.
Right. Originally, it seemed like they were willing to consider something, and then they just backed off completely.
Yeah, they just got stubborn. I mean, I think that they were probably told from above that they were not allowed to spend another penny on mitigation for anybody.
When would the first monitoring take place?
This year.
Well, they would do the baseline monitoring this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they would not do any annual monitoring until after construction was complete.
Oh.
Well.
Although I think that, well, they're saying, okay, baseline monitoring of existing salt marsh, they should really do it now before construction takes place.
Yeah.
Because whether it's construction impacts or shading impacts, if they're impacts.
See, I wasn't persuaded that there wouldn't be construction.
Maybe, yeah, I know. I'm thinking maybe we want them to be doing some monitoring during construction, during the years of construction as well.
I would think so too, because some of that shading is going to take place fairly quickly when they build that new Northbound Lane.
And, but that would be captured by the difference between this baseline existing conditions and any future monitoring.
Right.
What wouldn't be captured necessarily is if there are any construction-related impacts that aren't even due to shading, but that are impacts strictly from construction.
Right.
And then they would, that's a whole nother matter.
So Rimmer's proposal doesn't relate at all to the plantings, the new plantings.
No.
And that, it's up to us to determine, you know, whether they're surviving or not, or...
Yeah. But that's not even required, because that wasn't required mitigation. So if they all die,
But if they die during the warranty period, we can at least give them a heads up that they need to go to their contractor and get them put back.
Right.
I assume that's a contractor's warranty that they're just passing along, you know.
Right, but they would never get a certificate of compliance either at the end of the project unless those plantings were still alive, if it was within that 2-year period. So.
Well, are they going to do that kind of planting after the bridge is built?
Well, they said that they were going to do it early in the project,
yeah.
which was bothersome too, because that just, it's all the more risk that there'd be adverse impacts on what they put in if they.
They want to do the plantings because they wanted to stabilize the slopes as soon as possible and not leave it all bare.
Yeah.
So I get why that makes sense.
Right. It's just that, you know, if they plant it day one,
more quickly, right?
And then the 2-year warranty is up, and they're still chugging away building that bridge because that's going to be.
Well, I don't think they're going to plant until they're done with their activity on the site in that location.
Oh.
You know, I thought that was the point. That when they're
done
working on that slope, when they're done with the abutment, and they're done with the outfall, then they're going to plant that area. The rest of the bridge may be being built from barges or whatever, but...
Yeah, okay, So that's the point at which that warranty starts.
So, separate and apart from this, do we want, since Rimmer's going to have somebody out there...
Right, maybe we
looking at the salt marsh, do we want...
To include the construction phase.
Include the... keeping an eye on the plantings that go in once they go in?
Well, they're supposed to be doing that.
They're supposed to be doing that, and I don't think it's our, because we don't have, if they fail, we can't do anything about it anyway. So it's a waste of our money too, in some senses.
Unless they fail during the warranty period.
Yeah.
Right, but that's what they should
they
be
They have an
track
environmental,
of.
I know they should.
Yeah. But aren't they supposed to be, yes.
They have
a high degree of confidence
that
they will?
Yeah, they're going to be, right, we're going to be meeting with them on a regular basis through the construction period.
Okay, so we can learn when the plantings go in. And
yeah.
We can,
yeah.
I mean, we have the ability to go visit the site, too.
Right,
Right. So we'll have progress reports throughout the construction from the monitoring that's built into the project. And then after completion of the construction, we'll have Mary Rimmer shade study monitoring. Okay.
That's the best, I mean, that's sort of like the pretty picture that at least MassDOT painted for us, and then we would be adding Mary Rimmer onto the end of that, that they would be giving us and regular reports from their environmental monitor.
And it'll be under your watchful eye, too, so.
Of course it will. Yeah, no, I mean, we could, if people are concerned about construction phase impacts to the existing salt marsh areas, we could add on, you know, whatever the 2 or 3 years of construction period is and have her go out every September during construction, too.
But why should we do that if they're
responsible for the existing salt marsh? They don't care what happens to them.
But they are responsible for not having any adverse impacts to wetland areas during construction. And they've, you know, their whole notice of intent is how they're going to protect these areas. So if they have an impact during construction, then they're in violation. And that's something that we can either monitor ourselves through site visits and through regular communication with their people down there on site. Or we can have Mary go out and do it. But I don't know. I feel in some ways like maybe we should keep the two things separate and not muddy the waters, you know?
Yep.
Yes.
I agree. There's also going to be an environmental monitor there, right?
Right.
So this is a person that you'll be talking to regularly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's your monitoring.
Right.
Yeah. During construction.
Yeah. Well, I hope that it works that way.
I guess I'm okay with this, except when they build that northbound lane, it's going to be covering some of the existing salt marsh. So maybe this should be when the northbound lane is completed or shading study starts. Because then they're going to tear down the existing bridge, which will relieve some of the shading.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to rebuild that southbound lane. So it might be worthwhile after the northbound lane is complete to have her start then.
Okay. You don't think that would be captured, though, by the monitoring that would start the next year or whatever?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, if she's going to go out there now.
Okay, yeah.
The northbound lane isn't going to be complete for 2 years. I think it was the summer of 2014.
Right.
So that would be the first time
so
she'd
we'll have
go
her
out
start,
there.
So we'll have her start upon completion of the northbound lane.
Right.
Apart from the baseline, she needs to get a baseline.
Apart from the baseline.
Which is now.
Rather than the completion of construction altogether.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably going to add to the cost because we're adding another year or more.
Right.
Okay.
But if we're paying her over 4 or 5 years, though.
Well, if she starts monitoring after the northbound lane is constructed and she's doing her assessment of the impact of shade, maybe 3 years out from that would be enough.
I don't know, 3 years out from completion of the northbound lane?
Yeah.
I'd like to see it. Well, what is she proposing, 2 or 3 years? She's proposing 3 years out from completion of construction in total. I would rather see that, because that's longer. And the shading impacts are going to take place gradually over time. You're more likely to see something show up the longer you monitor it.
I think we should maybe rely on the, you know, to keep it clean, to rely on the construction monitoring during construction. And we're going to have Mary's baseline photographs, right, before construction commences. So, because there's supposed to be an environmental monitor out there throughout.
Right, but they're not paying any attention to shading. They've declared that there's no effect of the shading, and they don't care about it.
Well,
if they happen to drop 5 tons of cement off the bridge into the salt marsh, that's a construction impact. And they'll notice that, hopefully.
Well, we'll have to continue to bring it to their attention when there's these weekly updates or whatever they're required to do with the planning.
I'm torn about it. I see your point, Steve, because if
there's no construction impact,
construction impact, then their environmental monitor is not going to see anything, notice anything, call attention to anything. But if the salt marsh starts to
shrink
quickly,
or the diversity of the
because
plants
of
changes.
Shading, that's not going to be captured until a year or two later when she starts going out there, and then she might not be able to determine whether that was scour, because she wasn't there during those few years.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And she might you might lose the opportunity to determine a cause and effect
right.
if you wait to start until later.
Right, because you could lose a whole bunch of it during one winter. If we get tons of ice, it could get torn out of there and
right. She's not
nobody's
gonna
looking
what the
at
cause
it.
Is.
Okay.
She doesn't know what's going
okay.
on.
So I'm thinking maybe you're right.
Which
that
would,
takes,
which
yeah,
would
you
not be, though, something to do with the construction.
No.
Right.
Right.
But we know why it
at least
happened.
We've got, yes.
She's working on our behalf.
Right.
As opposed to someone maybe
right.
not, maybe
and
probably not working on our behalf. Yeah.
It just prevents questions from coming up that we can't answer.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that I agree with both sides here. I think that that we should have more faith in the environmental professionals that are being hired by the state or whoever to do the monitoring. You know, I don't care who they're working for. They are professionals and they do have integrity and ethics and that we should take into account.
I'm not questioning their ethics. It's just that they're not charged with looking at any effects on that salt marsh. Other than
direct construction impacts.
Direct construction impacts. It's not their concern. And they'll probably get orders not to say anything about it.
If they see something happening to it, wouldn't they want to be able to show us that it's not a construction impact?
They might.
I don't think they would highlight it at all, because
mm-hmm.
they've maintained that there's not going to be any...
well, then how...
Yeah.
But if there was a construction impact, why would they report that?
Yeah. How could shading not be an impact of construction? It
that
is.
That was my point during the whole discussion. They refuse to acknowledge that there's going to be any effect of shading.
But they're talking about the direct impact of construction, rutting and...
Well, that was the DPW folks. Not the people that are going to be out there
right.
doing the
right.
monitoring.
Right.
I don't think this is a huge amount of money and we can afford it. I'm
not saying it's not.
Yeah.
But
doesn't hurt
at
to
the
have
same time, you don't want to be redundant unless you have to. You don't want to be redundant. You don't know what the people
if
are going to do.
If, let's say there's no construction impact. Let's say there's no equipment that's accidentally driven over the marsh area or anything like that. Their environmental monitor's out there, and he's not seen any of that take place, so he's fine. He's not writing anything up. He's not calling anybody. We're not talking about it at meetings. But let's say that there's shading impacts happening, and the marsh is gradually shrinking, or that there's scour happening, and the big chunks are falling off. Well, we're not going to find out about that, because that's not his job to report on those things. And Matt, that's what MassDOT said the whole time, was it could be for any reason. So we're not going to be able to capture any of those reasons if that happens until later, in which time no one would have been out there seeing.
Well,
it's going to be ambiguous.
I think
reverse the roles here. You know, we're looking to hire Mayor Rimmer, whom we have confidence in. Let's just say that for a reason that the roles were reversed and she was the environmental person that was going to work for the state. Do you think that, again, that she would jeopardize her integrity with towns up here to turn the other cheek?
No, but I'm not saying that their environmental monitor is going to turn the other way. I'm saying he probably won't notice it because he's focused on watching construction-related impacts.
Mary's going to go out there.
That's their job.
This month and identify plots that will be affected by the shading, and she's going to have a control area outside so that she'll have specific plots that she can look at and see if there's any changes. The environmental monitor doesn't have that. All they have is this general shading study that Normando did.
If the baseline study is going to be done right now or soon by Rimmer, I don't see how we can then wait 2 years to pick up the annual monitoring. If something happens in the meantime, nobody's going to know anything.
Right.
The environmental monitor says, well, I don't know what happened to the salt marsh, but it wasn't a construction impact.
Exactly.
And Mary says, well, I wasn't supposed to be watching it then because you wanted me to start up 2 years, you know, when
right.
the span was built. So it's
right.
just going to...
We'll lose the information. We won't have an...
Seems to me we have to start Mary on the regular monitoring soon after the baseline monitoring is done, the baseline report is done, or a year hence or whatever. But
yeah, I agree with that.
And it really doesn't add significantly to the cost, I don't think.
Yeah, we're not paying.
Because it could even, I mean, it could even expand more in the year before the span is, the first span is built. The salt marsh could continue to rebound and spread and grow before it then maybe shrink again. And we would miss that too. So I'm agreeing with you guys.
Yeah, I think it's worth the expenditure and expand it just to each year. We're talking about, so. Okay. What was it like, it could be like $1,000 a year or something?
Oh, it's $5,500.
$5,500. I'll just ask her to give us a revised estimate. We can talk about it at our next meeting. How about that?
But in the meantime, can she go out and do the baseline study?
Okay.
Maybe we'll get a volume.
So we'll say that we might ask for an amended, we're going to approve this and possibly amend it to include additional years of upfront monitoring.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys want
to
vote on that?
Yeah, we need to vote on that. I need a...
Motion to approve what we talked about.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Very good. Just on time. So, I think I'll turn that down.
It sounded like Hal from 2000.
There's a good reason for that.
Oh, really?
Okay. First item on the agenda is Jordy Vining and the Planning and Development, Office of Planning and Development, and the amendment to the Certificate of Compliance for the Bartlett Mall project.
Okay, I just passed out the information on this. This is an old, it was an old order of conditions that was issued for control of invasive Phragmites and algae blooms in the Bartlett Mall in the Frog Pond. And they did the work a few years ago. They received a certificate of compliance. As part of the commission's order of conditions at the time, we requested a long-term management plan for the Bartlett Mall, which was received and incorporated into the order of conditions prior to the certificate of compliance. Then the certificate of compliance refers to ongoing and sort of perpetual condition for control of algae. But in the management plan that was adopted, it also includes long-term management of the Phragmites should it reoccur. So, and there's correspondence and emails, and Jordy has like a whole file's worth of his emails and letters to people back and forth about these things that kind of show the intent of that. And but he wanted to, and they now need to go back out and cut and do glyphosate on some of the Phragmites stems, which are beginning to come back up again. And so he went back to the order of conditions and looked at that and saw that it specified only algae control, and he just wanted to make sure that all the T's were crossed and I's were dotted, and that we, if we could amend that order of conditions to include the perpetual management of Phragmites too, that would make the whole thing cleaner. And again, it is already in the management plan. It just wasn't included in that written condition.
I'll make a motion to amend the certificate of compliance to include perpetual control of Phragmites.
But what about the water lilies too? Because those are mentioned in here.
The what?
Water lilies. Is that?
I mean, you may want to expand it to be in all invasives.
Yeah. Okay. Amend to include control of all invasives.
Or you could also refer to the management plan, you know,
as
outlined
per, as per
in
the,
as
yeah,
per the part of the moment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next item, new report, Parks Commission. Joppa Park Water Street, request for determination.
Okay, that is the file that I sent you all, and you must have just received in the mail the revised sketch from the Parks Department that shows the filter fabric. We reviewed this at our last meeting, actually about a month ago now. But the comment at the time was, and it was a draft RDA at the time, but the comment was that we needed to know the volume of the area to be filled with concrete, and we needed to show on the plan the filter fabric that was specified. And so the Parks Commission revised the plan and submitted it, and that's what you received. And you should already have a copy of the RDA. And that's it. And John Eric White is here, city engineer, to answer any questions that people might have.
Okay.
Just 283 cubic yards is a lot of cement, isn't it?
Yeah, I erred on the high side just for budgeting, so that you'd hate to under budget and then only get half of it done.
It is a long stretch.
Yeah, it's a long stretch, and you don't know how deep the holes go, so, yeah. I'm hoping for half that amount.
Motion to issue a negative 2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'm going to have to ask you to sign this at the end of the meeting, because I left the thing downstairs.
We'll try to remember.
Yeah, we'll remember. I'll remember. The big star next to it.
Okay.
I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Okay.
Forget your voice about that.
Yes. Good. All right, next one is William Burns, 1166 Street, request for certificate of compliance.
Okay. On this one, I should have all received this in the mail also, right? I drove up there today, and it looks to be constructed according to plans. My only comment on it is that the order of conditions requested photographs to come along with the as-built plan, and there are no photographs. But with that said, I was out at the site, and it's been built according to plan. So if you'd like to continue it to get photographs for the file, that's an option. Otherwise,
I was just going to add is the one piece that isn't there yet is the portion that abuts the neighbor's fence. There's going to be seagrass planted all along there.
Oh, the planting.
Yes, but there's currently plantings there now, just kind of weeds and others.
It looked to be vegetated, but I guess
it is.
Okay.
But it's going to have official seagrass there.
Okay.
We're just, unfortunately, you have to wait until October, according to the landscaper, of the season to plant it.
Okay.
So that is all going to be back there.
Okay.
As well.
So is this your property?
It is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have asked if anyone was here to represent the project.
No, that's okay. My husband knows a lot more than I about it. The details, but that was the one portion we just wanted to add that wasn't done.
Okay.
Would we do a
partial
on that?
But we could do that.
Yeah, because I'd like to.
And we're waiting for our certificate of occupancy.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'll
like
be
this
enough.
This is the last
in
bit.
In terms of a partial, though, that means that then they have to come back in with a new request for the complete certificate of compliance, and if all you have left to do is the planting, maybe we just want to continue it and not issue anything until they've done the planting.
Oh, well, the planning's going
to
be done.
Oh, but you need the RDC.
Yeah.
That's
gotcha.
The last part.
Well, we're okay with the building, it's just the grass.
Which, will be in. I mean, there is vegetation now there. It's just kind of weedy and random. It's not official.
So you you can't move into it because you don't have a certificate.
Right, yeah. Right, and we can't get, you know, proper homeowner's insurance, and
right.
And it's been kind of held up because of
yeah.
this, so
yeah.
we had to obviously wait for the landscapers and then have everything start
and
growing.
A partial wouldn't satisfy?
No, partial does.
Yeah, partial.
Partial
yeah.
does
okay.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the only downside is they have to come back for a full certificate.
Yeah.
And
then
right.
Yeah.
It's but
a,
that's
yeah,
not that hard.
No.
Yes.
No.
The cleanest way, I think.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
partial and then come back for the full, we would expect the
photos
are done
and
photos.
Yeah. yeah, photos and planting.
Okay.
For when you come back for the full. Partial is to get you your occupancy permit.
Okay.
And since the plantings aren't done yet and they're required in the order conditions, then you would come back for a full certificate of compliance once that's all done.
Because mm-hmm. beach grass, aren't you supposed to plant that in the fall anyway?
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that's what.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is one of the difficulties of the timing issue,
yeah.
especially
yeah.
for, you know, banks and insurance and C of O's and
yeah.
both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the partial, you should be able to record with the, you know, the deed. That should get you through all the legal hoops.
Mm-hmm. So then we come back. Would we come back after the?
Once all the planting's done.
So then we bring photographs and we just appear on the agenda at that point.
With a letter requesting a complete certificate of compliance.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But you'll be able to sign off on
yeah.
my permit.
Yeah. Yep. And yeah. After these guys vote.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to modify your motion? Make a motion?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay. Motion to issue a partial certificate of compliance on 1166 Street.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you guys are taking the next one. I'm going to go down and get the signature pages.
Okay.
Motion to recess the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
I'm all set. Okay.
Yeah.
So, do I bring the permit to your office?
Julie's
tomorrow?
Gonna. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Did she sign that now?
Yeah, she may be able to sign. Yeah, on that the building permit form.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, first item is Barbara Jean Magnani, Pauline Street, notice of intent.
Hi, everybody. I'm representing Barbara Jean. She wasn't able to be here tonight. Does anybody have photos yet?
Can you hand us out photos, please?
I did hand out some the last meeting, but maybe not everybody has them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't include them for paper management.
Oh, you got one? I got one.
Okay, you guys, maybe you could share that one. I also do have a corrected copy of that page that had the 700 feet.
Yeah.
I figured you'd like that. And anybody else need? Does everybody get access to pictures?
Okay. Or you can sit over there.
Yeah, I'll go.
So this property is located on 160 Old Point Road. Is the official address right now. We've got Pauline Street slash, but the city sees it as 160 Old Point Road. It is a currently developed lot, two-story, two-bedroom dwelling, concrete block foundation and pilings, constructed in 1948. The existing dwelling, we have 832 square feet of basement with a bulkhead entry. We do have a architect engineer letter certifying the basement and also the carrying structure, etc., which we're not proposing to modify. A copy of that.
Does it feel like a Vegas dealer here now?
That wasn't bad. That wasn't good. Sorry.
Does Julie have a copy of that for the file?
She does. Yeah, I gave her one last meeting.
So, Bob, what's on the pilings? Just the porch? Is that what's on pilings now?
Currently, what's on pilings is that porch structure.
Yeah.
And that is the, I've identified that as a 344 square feet of currently three-season porch. Basically on a fairly mixed bag of pilings, mostly sonotubes. Whole thing's pretty much gonzo. We've got 2,008 square feet of habitable space, that's the FAR. And about a 15,000 square foot lot. So, our total impact, dwelling, porches, decks, stairs, is 1,439 square feet. The lot is located in the new FEMA Zone C, or however it's identified. It is out of any of the new flood zones. We went with the, went with the new map, so. And what we're proposing to do is to remodel the existing two-story portion of the dwelling that's on the solid foundation. No additional, we're not proposing any additional reinforcement in the basement, no additional sonotubes, carrying beams, lollic columns, etc. And then we would like to demolish and reconstruct on driven pilings the three-season porch section of the building. That will be incorporated into a bedroom, and two bathrooms will be incorporated into that portion of the building. What they are proposing is to do an upside-down style building, bedrooms on the first floor, living on the second, kind of becoming the style down there. This one's fortunate, I guess, that they don't have to go up 8 feet to get to the bedroom story. But a portion of that porch, we are proposing to construct a second floor addition over that porch area. If you look at the second page of photos, I've just kind of dotted it in. Basically a T-style roof.
Is that deck slash porch that has the lattice work around it, is that that's going or being rebuilt? Or
we are proposing to demolish that and relocate it. Also, we'd like to construct a farmer's porch at the front of the building. I've dotted that in. And also a deck at the rear of the building. Total new proposed impact is 266 square feet. So removing the existing three decks and then reconstructing the new decks. And again, 266 square feet is what we come up with in that. I can go over that on this existing plan. This is the street side here. This is our solid foundation, bulkhead, existing carrying beam, etc. Our three-season porch is here. There's a rear deck here. This is the basin side. Rear deck here for egress. This is that front deck you can see on the first two photos. And what we're proposing to do, sorry about that. I should know better than to have the phone with me. Really pretty much a rearrangement of the house. Proposing the farmer's porch here with the stairs. This is our existing porch footprint here. Two-story section here. This is single story with deck over flat roof. Same thing on this side. Fantastic views, basin, river. Then we've got a first story egress deck here. Pretty much approximately in the same area as this one. We would like to do a second story deck along the rear of the building on the basin side. And then a small deck over here off of the master bedroom with another set of stairs. And again, 266 square feet's the total impact.
So the 266 includes those ones that you would like to do?
Yes. Yeah, that's basically the difference in impact between existing and proposed. So I can go through the Newburyport ordinance. Again, everything will be placed on, all new construction will be on driven pilings, decks included. No sonotubes proposed. And in this case, it'll be all wooden pilings. So it's a low profile, so we don't need the steel pilings, etc. All utilities will be at elevation 11 or above, situated in the basement, as it is now. Bottom of all structures, 3 foot above all adjacent grades. And that's pretty much demonstrated by your that front deck there shows really the deck heights and the addition height. We're not proposing any removal of beach sand. All areas disturbed by construction, as always, will be replanted. In this case, the owner does like the American beech grass. I know we've talked about different species, but she's actually wanted me to ask if she can plant more. I said, well, I'm pretty sure you can. So
you don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Is that what's out there now? Pretty much it's hard to tell from the photos.
It's really scrubby in the area that's actually kind of a domestic grass. That type stuff there.
Somebody tried a lawn probably at some point.
Over a long period.
Yeah.
It's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
But the section out front on the first photo, I think, demonstrates best kind of where the lot dips down, and it's kind of that dune crest where the wind gets at it. And pretty much, erodes those areas. That's the portion that goes from elevation 12 to 10. And we felt that was the right area that was conducive to the beach grass. We'll stabilize that area, and she felt it had aesthetic value as well. So
will you be bringing in some sand for that area?
Won't be bringing in any sand, only because the contour is pretty much as it is.
Okay.
What she felt was that the planting of the beach grass, and I recommended it as well, planting of the beach grass will stabilize that area, gather any sand that's accumulating, etc., and help build that up a bit.
I was just wondering if what's there is conducive to the beach grass surviving.
There is beach grass. If you look at the adjacent side driveway, it's the same material on the left-hand side of the picture. There's what is called Pauline Street, kind of a gravel road there. And then he's got ample beach grass in that area.
Okay.
So we felt, it's mainly beach sand. It's not really gravelly. It's just kind of scrubby at this point. And again, that's the kind of area that gets wind blown. Sewer and water hookup obviously has been provided and is up and running. All the construction itself will take place from the existing driveway, dumpsters, materials, etc. The only equipment that will be on the site is for the demolition and for the pile driving. And we feel if you look pretty much, actually photo 3 would be a good picture to look at. That'll be where the majority of the demo takes place. And the porch, the front deck, and that side deck. And that's mainly that kind of mix of domestic crabgrass. There's all sorts of stuff interlaced in there. There will be some impact there with equipment, etc. I'll go with what the board really proposes there. In that case, it's the sort of thing where the stuff will grow back in a season. If you wanted some replanting in there, then we'd be happy to do it. That kind of, it's almost indigenous because it'll grow. If you try to plant a lawn, the stuff would grow a lot better than that. But again, that's really the majority of the impact area from equipment. Everything else is contained, well contained. So that's pretty much it. Julia, you did get the copy of the architect engineer's
letter?
Yeah.
Yeah, the architect's letter. Yep.
Bob, just to be totally clear, are there any lally columns in the basement?
There is, and I have them mapped out on the existing.
Oh, okay.
Right. And they match to the proposed. There's no additional point loads. Everything's really been simplified. We really worked hard to use the existing structure, both economy and obviously the FEMA regs. I'll be honest, economy number one.
Yeah.
Well, it's in fairly good, you know, the house is in fairly good condition. It did have low ceilings on the first floor, which is really predicated the planning on putting the bedrooms down and the living up, but that worked well.
And on these new decks and porches, no lattice work?
No lattice work.
Yeah. So it's going to be purely open.
Yeah. I think the big thing on this property is it's one of those little islands. On the new flood map that's
up high enough.
Yeah, it's kind of dotted along the.
Anybody got any other?
I guess my only comment would be if there is any major disturbance by the construction vehicles when they're doing that demolition, that they replace with beach grass rather than just letting it grow up the crabgrass.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and she likes beach grass.
I mean, she can do
she
the whole,
does, yeah.
Whole, do the whole thing if she wants.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it is pretty.
It is pretty, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. No, she liked it. I mean, you know, we talked about decorative grasses, I think, briefly at the last meeting, and not indigenous, but she's just as happy with the beach grass. She likes how it looks.
I talked about economy. There's no maintenance to it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the stuff's prolific. I mean, it's, you know, it'll take over. So. Mm.
So, do you have anything else? Does the Daily News have any questions? Public here.
So, is that one special condition? Any disturbance during construction shall be replaced with American beech grass?
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Any other? Okay, do our other standard Plum Island special conditions.
Okay. Are we doing order of conditions now?
Well, we can if we want to. We'll go right into it.
We have to close the public hearing.
Right,
we've got to
close the public hearing first. But
motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I guess we're going to.
These other two are continuing, right? They're not here.
Yeah. Business park is continuing.
The business park is, they're not coming.
They have, yeah.
They're asking for a continuance to the next meeting, right? 2 weeks. Yeah. So, if you would like to do that, we'll need a motion.
Motion to issue an order of conditions with the one special condition that we mentioned.
Do that there.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah.
Thank you all very much.
Okay.
Right.
And do, Julie, I do have a corrected page four. The original, I put a typo in there of beech grass quantity.
Oh.
So just for the record, I can leave that posted on there.
Thank you. Yeah, perfect.
It's just a, it's a minor correction.
Okay, great.
And you guys are all done?
Oh, no.
No, not really.
It's a quiet meeting anyway.
Yeah, regulations time.
How's the new flood mapping affecting things?
So far, so good. In fact, we've had several folks on Plum Island coming in saying, aren't we lucky our house is now out of the floodplain?
Oh.
So, yeah. And certain sections actually down near your area.
Yeah, I think those have increased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went into the velocity zone, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Facing Newbury, but I think they're expecting a tidal wave down the river.
It's, there are a lot of people out of the floodplain over there now. So
yeah.
It's Northern Boulevard that got worse.
I was in one of those high spots. Like
Yeah.
In fact, actually, that picture was taken from my house.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out if I can get a copy of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Quite a bit. I could not find an existing building, except maybe one of them.
Right after the post-op.
What's his name? The selectman in Salisbury.
Climate,
and he did a nice job with the addition.
Yeah.
That may be one of the only originals left, or the only original. Is that something I'll get a?
I'll send it certified mail unless you want to schedule a time to come in and pick it up. But whichever.
Whatever works.
Okay.
Right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the industrial park or the business park, whatever we're calling it now, we should vote on a. Continuance to the next meeting.
Motion to continue.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now the moment you've all been waiting for. The Newburyport Wetlands Protection Regulations. Who would you like to?
Sure. So, I passed it out another copy for everybody, and I'll get you one, Dan. Hold on a second. I didn't really make any revisions. What I did was I added the Plum Island guidelines to that we talked about.
My cataracts.
Previously, we wanted to incorporate those in, so I did incorporate those in. You can see on the front page, the table of contents, that section 6 is now Plum Island application requirements and guidelines. And I also added a section 4 exemptions, which is essentially empty. It's more like a placeholder because in our ordinance we refer to the fact that we can adopt additional exemptions as needed in our regulations. So I wanted to put a placeholder in for that. And then under the Plum Island application requirements and guidelines, that is just our standard Plum Island guidelines that have been existing. It's actually the 2010 was the latest changes made to those. I incorporated those as is, except that I pulled out the definitions section of that, and I incorporated those definitions into the section 2 definitions of the regulations, just so that people wouldn't be getting confused about additional definitions here and there and not knowing where to look for them. So that's all that has changed.
I just got a question on that section. If they're here in the regulations, are they still guidelines? Or
that's my issue with it. I'm a little concerned about ambiguity.
It kind of seems to me that almost all of the wording in the overview should go.
In the overview of the guidelines?
I mean, I think it's odd to have something that doesn't have the force of regulations in the middle of a set of regulations.
Yeah, I don't.
Unless you want them to have workforce.
Well, they haven't so far, so that would be, we could, but that would be a change.
That's kind of what.
Yeah, because the purpose of this is to get it into, as part of the regulations.
Right.
Can they be an appendix?
Maybe, I think that's maybe better, so that.
An appendix?
So that people wouldn't feel that they have the force of the regulation, if they're not intended to.
Don't we want to have them have the force of?
Well, let's talk about it, maybe we do.
Well, I thought we did, you know, but worded better, and in terms of the regulation.
Right.
Okay, so more tightly worded than now?
Yeah, like, you know, like.
So we just get rid of the overview section entirely, maybe?
Yeah.
And.
I haven't really been through this part of it in a while.
Yeah, well, this is new, Julie just added this.
No, but I mean, we've had the guidelines for a while as guidelines, right?
Oh, yeah.
The substance of this really hasn't changed.
Right, but I think, you know, even the name of the title of section six.
Right.
Could it be Plum Island Special Regulations or just Plum Island Regulations?
Well, I called it procedures because the previous section is titled Application Requirements and Procedures.
So we could call this
section Plum Island Requirements and Procedures.
Yeah,
just get rid of guidelines. It's the most important thing, the word guidelines.
Yeah, because a big part of this was to get rid of that.
So other than the overview section, is there anything else in the remaining lettered? How long does this end? Well, this does go on, doesn't it?
And to be honest, I didn't go through this project site plans for notice of intent. I didn't go through this, haven't had time yet to compare this to the requirements, notice of intent requirements that we have for the rest of the city, and whether or not there's redundancy, because I wasn't sure if we wanted to take away at all from our existing.
Well, I think the things like plan requirements and so on, procedural things ought to be consistent throughout, shouldn't they?
Except that we have that there are specific things for Plum Island, like boundaries of A and B zones, although that could apply to the whole city.
Right.
But
but just in terms of the type of plan that they have to file, that shouldn't be different.
And there should be a statement in front. If you're going to take away the redundancy, say, you know, all of the requirements and procedures in section 5 apply with the following additions on Plum Island.
That's probably good.
Yeah, although I don't think we need any extra. I think the, you know, I don't see why all of these would be applicable anywhere else. And in fact, with the new FEMA maps, boundaries of A and B zones, et cetera, may become more of a requirement off island.
Mm-hmm. So, what are you suggesting?
So, you know, maybe upgrade the requirements for a regular notice of intent.
Straight requirements.
And just leave this one empty.
I have a question though. For notices of intent, or I guess they do, all of the other requirements are the same for a notice of intent, even if it's just on Plum Island, even if it's really strictly because of our ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they still have to notify abutters and all that stuff, so that's all the same.
So,
just
what's an addition then for Plum Island?
Nothing.
So, should we reword it that in these certain areas protected?
No,
there are specific things that we call out for Plum Island, like location of dumpsters, equipment storage for construction purposes. That should be on. That should be on all plans.
Right.
The lowest horizontal structural member, base flood elevation. And I'm just wondering if some of these things that we have specifically for Plum Island might throw somebody off if they're not on Plum Island.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but if the whole section is captioned Plum Island procedures and special requirements, wouldn't that fairly apparent that that's what we're talking about in that section of the regs?
Right. That's what it's for. It's only echoing the
but I think we do want to get rid of redundancies.
Yeah.
So we'll get rid of the redundancies and
plan
then
requirements.
We'll just, okay.
Yeah, and
these are additional ones. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So this just this Plum Island section goes all the way over to page 16, right at the top.
Yeah.
Mitigation being the last one, Q. Is that right?
Yes. Mitigation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do we say so? Take mitigation for example. Do we say somewhere else in the regs that mitigation has to be performed on site, or not? We don't say
not
that.
Not necessarily for other
right.
projects. Only on Plum Island we're saying that. But that's been a guideline, okay,
right.
not a requirement. And I don't know if it, like specifically this one, if we want to make that a requirement, because there are times when it is useful to allow somebody to do mitigation off site. Even if it's just
I know
the,
we've tussled
the
with DEP
next
a little bit.
Yeah,
wow.
DEP has a different opinion on that.
Okay.
They require it on
right.
site.
Yeah, they want to know.
But they may change their mind next week.
And these are
yeah,
these are
we
guidelines.
This next week.
Well, no,
these have been guidelines.
We'll be ahead of the curve if we, if we don't say it.
We've essentially been treating them like regulations, though. We've kind of been holding people to them.
Well, you could add, you could just add an additional comment or additional part of that sentence that says all project mitigation must be performed on site unless otherwise authorized by the.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
good. That's good.
Good.
Yeah.
And you could put it in the mitigation section on 25.
Rather
okay.
than in, rather
the
than here.
25.
Yeah.
As number 10.
Yeah, I think whatever you can take from this guideline section, and just. Drop because it's elsewhere
25.
In the regs is great.
Mm-hmm. Can you say move to where?
Bottom of page 25.
Oh, okay.
Section 5, then middle number 10.
Okay. Yeah.
As an example of how we can pull those things out.
What things?
The redundancies.
Well, for example, take project site plans. A lot of this is treated in the general site plan requirements somewhere else. So you can just drop those things. And the reference to the flood zone boundaries, that's important to have in here. That's a special Plum Island deal. But
well, I don't know.
Utility shaft, location of utility shafts,
right.
for example.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well,
right.
actually, with the flood zone tiles. Boundaries, we may just want to have that. That's not special because
right.
there's
no, that's
flood, there's new flood zones or there are
yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That
the
could
riverfront,
apply to everybody.
Riverfront, yeah.
That could apply to everybody, but
so
you,
maybe
like
that
location
should,
of utility shaft is so particular to
right.
the
yeah,
homes
it
on
is,
pilings.
And pilings
lattice,
too.
Yeah,
right.
lattice and lattice and fencing and
yeah.
what's this and this 25-50 rule.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Someone had
oh,
to bring
no.
it up.
I'm not gonna revisit that.
No.
I think we just leave
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw that. And ooh, hurts.
That's special for Plum Island, right?
Oh yeah.
Very special.
Unless you want to have a revolution.
Yeah.
There's a whole big section over here determining cost for the 50%
yeah.
rule. Oh boy.
Yeah. So, A is out. B is out.
Well, not all of B.
Not all of B. Some, most of B. C is in.
Yeah.
D is in. Is it? Or is that redundant?
Yeah. D, should that be
D, elevation
standard?
Above the mother.
Why shouldn't that be elsewhere, too?
I think it should be here because if people are working on Plum Island, they're just it helps them to be able to go to this one section
yeah.
and see exactly what they need to do. I don't.
So do we need to, but should we repeat it elsewhere in the regs for the rest of the flood flood-prone areas or not?
Or does the building department pick that up?
I've seen that done in regs often, repeating.
Sure, we could.
Well, because, but we don't require this in other floodplain areas.
I was just going to say, I don't think I've ever... I don't think we've
we don't
ever
have,
discussed it.
We don't have any performance standards. The Wetlands Protection Act doesn't have any performance standards for flood zone outside of Plum Island or bordering land subject to flooding, which those regulations are totally different.
Yeah.
So it would only, this would only apply in Plum Island.
Okay.
So I think we keep it here.
Okay.
But on the same note, that the boundaries of the A and B flood zones, while not particular to Plum Island, it's certainly something that somebody in the Plum Island section would want to see. So maybe that should be repeated.
Where's that?
I mean,
oh, under project site plans for notice of
site plan, showing it on the site plan.
Yeah.
I think so. I think we get so many applicants that are just on Plum Island and their issues are, they wouldn't come to us at all if it wasn't for the fact that they're on Plum Island. And it would help them to be able to go to this section and be able to see specifically. Like they do now, I mean, they have the benefit of picking up those guidelines, and that's all they need to look at. And now we're going to have it dispersed throughout this, you know, 30-page thing.
Yeah.
I think that it's worth it to keep that section as much intact as...
Right, and then possibly
totally
duplicate it in the other section.
Right,
yeah.
I mean,
but
if we do have some redundancies, is there any...
There's nothing wrong with that, as long as if we change it, remember to change it in both places.
Right. I mean, I think certainly the what's required to be submitted with a notice of intent and those sort of things can be, we can remove all those redundancies and be fine. But then when you get into the detail of...
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
But I mean, if we have in the Plum Island section, you know, a reference to, a specific reference to some other part of the regs, they're not going to miss it. They're going to see, they're going to go to the Plum Island section and say, okay, I also need to refer to the site plan requirements over here in the general part of the regulations,
mm-hmm.
and then these are in addition to that.
Right.
Yeah, you
right.
could just put
so we don't have to repeat everything, but
yeah.
we just have to make sure that we identify the
well,
other things they need to look
refer
at.
Good point. To, yeah.
Good point. For project site plans for notice of intent, we'll you know, refer to section regs.
And pretty much the rest is Plum Island kind of specific anyway.
I'll work
fences,
on it.
Ladders, driveways, properties, utilities.
I mean, for the purposes of it
garages.
Remaining the same, I know you're, yeah, I get your point that Plum Island people just want to read that section.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
because they're not near bordering vegetation, they don't have buffer zone issues, they don't have any of this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll put the links in the hyperlinks in the PDF.
Yeah.
Pop right over to it.
You're good at that. All right, well, why don't I send out a revised draft? I'll work on it a little bit, send out a revised draft, and y'all can
mm-hmm.
give me some comments.
Now, on the Plum Island one, the section J, the sheds, I believe a month or so ago, we told someone they could build a shed at a foot above grade.
That was,
I don't know. Did we at 1 foot above grade?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Tom Hughes?
Yeah.
Why did we say 1 foot above grade?
I can't recall now, but I remember.
That was a big, long lot there.
Yeah,
I can't remember which it was.
2 feet above base flood elevation.
What, on Northern
or
Boulevard?
2 feet.
Is that one?
Above the highest existing
yeah,
ground.
I think so.
232 or something?
Yeah.
You
I
sure
think
it was 1 foot?
Garage doors.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one with the garage. Garage.
Yeah.
And
he
yeah, it seemed like everybody wanted, you know, that it seemed right. It was a small shed. I think it was...
So what's the demarcation between a small shed and a big
yeah,
shed?
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He was...
A compelling argument.
Yeah.
That we bought.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, cause I remember saying when we did that, we said, well, you know, this is going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we've decided to do that, then this should be changed.
Mm.
The whole precedent setting thing, yeah.
Let's leave it for now.
Sheds greater than, well, how big was that shed? 8 by 10?
I think this was 8 by 10, yeah.
I think it was too.
It's not that small.
Well, I mean, we could always add a phrase, you know, unless the commission otherwise determines shed shall be 2 feet above grade. If you wanted to do that, if you want to leave some flexibility, some wiggle room for the next small shed that Tom wants to propose.
Compellingly.
Compellingly. I mean, I've always had a problem with the sheds being, you know.
Yeah.
I
know, because it sort of defeats the purpose of a shed. And
yeah, that you have this 2 foot.
Yeah,
I still remember the applicant
there.
With that really nice looking shed with a cupola on it and everything, and you know, it just blew her away.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have stipulations in whatever zones we don't want them in to.
That's a good, that's a sort of a sensible approach, isn't it? Because there's
really the whole idea is to worried about the thing becoming a projectile and a flood.
So maybe in the...
Not sand migration.
No, I suppose that's there too. But.
I think there are just bigger fish to fry than the small sheds.
Yeah, no, I was just pointing it out.
That's what we've done. You're right, Paul.
And the mitigation,
what do you guys want to do with that? Are we still on sheds? Do you want to just...
I mean, we do allow for variances and so on in here, you know.
Yeah, that's a big deal, getting a variance. Show, like, public benefit and all that kind of thing. It's really not...
Hard to show that there's a public benefit of having the shed lower on the lot.
Right. Well, you could do like sheds smaller than X may be permitted to be 1 foot above the commission's discretion. Small sheds.
I don't know that size really matters in this case, but
unless somebody's going to call some massive building with livable space above it a shed.
Right.
But Joe's idea of certain zones would be 2 feet above, and other zones could be one. The velocity zone could be 2 feet.
But why? What's the purpose of that then?
Because if you have the water flowing over it, flooding, if it's 2 feet above, it's less likely to become a projectile than in one of the other zones where it's certainly less likely that there's going to be any water, then 1 foot would be okay.
Is that 2 feet actually, it's so arbitrary, but in flooding water, I mean...
Yeah, isn't it more for flooding water than it is for sand migration?
Yeah, 2 feet, I think.
Well, the other problem to consider with sheds is that they're not really anchored. They're not,
they're not on
piles. They're just on whatever. So if you stick a shed on 2 feet of concrete blocks, if it floods, it's going down. I mean, whether it's 1 or 2 feet, because those blocks are just going to get... washed away.
Undermined, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but perhaps the suggestion a little bit earlier that we just say that it's 2 feet above grade or flood elevation unless otherwise permitted by the commission. And that will let the applicant know that they can at least try.
Yeah, and, to convince us.
Yeah, and if someone does come in and they want to put one 1 foot above grade right on where a major primary dune is about to break through,
right,
we can say no.
If they can show us that they're putting it at the highest point on their property and that it's not in the flood zone and all that, okay.
It'll be nice to see them put on little mini piles too, a little hand dug.
Yeah. Well, we could put in there that they should be anchored.
That might be more important than anything else.
Well, it certainly helps.
Yeah.
So it's sheds 100 square feet or smaller may be elevated using cinder blocks or bricks at each corner of the structure, provided that efforts are made to anchor the something like that.
Yeah. That's good.
Just just like the ticket booth at the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, right.
Okay. 2 feet of water, half the cars that try to go to Plum Island at the center are floating.
Yeah.
Could happen though. I mean, a doozy, you know? A real big one.
Oh, yeah, well, that's where they have the regs. So, you know, it's for the big ones that come through. You want to minimize damage, so you don't want stuff getting slammed into other houses.
Yeah.
Better let the water just go right through.
Where are we on the, if, I don't know, where are we on the filing fee issue? I know you circulated an earlier draft of some filing fees. I'm not sure whether we decided to table the whole filing fee thing for the time being, or whether we're going to address it.
We talked about that and fines, penalties.
And fines. I thought we agreed on it.
It was two meetings ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
I forget where we ended up on that.
It's a separate administrative thing. I don't think it necessarily has to be.
I thought we pretty much settled.
Well, administrative fees. Right now.
Did we settle on a list of fees then?
We had a back and forth on a lot of it, but I think it was pretty much settled.
Yeah, we have there's a separate Conservation Commission fee schedule.
Okay.
And I did email that around prior to our previous meeting because we had agreed on some changes. It was going to be we're adding $50 to an RDA. It's right now. It's 50 plus 150 for the.
So that's in. I must have missed
that.
That's in an email from
you. I'll resend that because that was a little while ago.
Yeah, I don't want
to. We had come to agreement on that. We had said it was going to be an additional 50 for an RDA. There was going to be a mandatory, I think it was $50 fee after the commission ratifies an enforcement order, and. Everything else was going to basically, no, we had a schedule for notices of intent. We had an actual sort of checkoff list of how much each thing. Is that it?
Fee calculation sheet?
Yes.
Yeah,
but Julie had one with numbers on it.
I had one that had, I think, I'll email it around to you all again,
okay.
And we can look at that
at our
next meeting.
I don't want to reinvent something that's already
right.
The rest, but I just was curious as to where it all ended up.
Yeah.
Oh, and did you get that? I talked to you about that, the RDA one, that it's not going, you know, I think in your thing, you'd set it to 100.
Yeah.
And you run a check to make sure that wouldn't be added
it
on
wouldn't
top
be,
of the 50.
It wouldn't, it's not 150. Yeah, it's just 100 instead of 50.
Right, yeah. That other 50 was charged by
before
the
we
planning
yeah.
Before we finalize the fees, is it worth seeing what some other local towns do in theirs, just as
I believe
so
we did.
We did.
Did
that.
You
think
you did that?
Yeah.
We did.
What
we
towns were
around.
Using as
we had Concord, we had Seekonk, we had what was
the Concord the fees were high, weren't they?
They
what
were
about
high.
Some were really high.
We had we looked at Raleigh.
Did you look at Raleigh?
I think
we
ended up lower than most of the others.
Yeah.
It seemed a little bit.
Yeah,
that seemed excessive.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way place to start, I think. So,
yeah, and you don't want to overburden applicants. I mean, you know, just for what? Hundreds of dollars for an RDA seems just absurd.
Yeah,
you don't want to be absurd,
but
we also want to have funds to be able to do things ourselves. With, you know, we're not used to doing it because we never have money, but a lot of these towns that have this revenue, they'll go, like, for the one of the open space parcels, the Wet Meadows parcel, we wouldn't have to go beg CPA for, a couple $1,000 to build a viewing platform on there. We could do it ourselves, and that's what a lot of towns do. They don't have to use the the CPA to do stuff like that, and then whatever the commission's priorities are, they can, you can go do it. We can build a trail through someplace.
But you have to balance that with what's fair to charge somebody for an RDA.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, I understand that.
I think we got a good, I think we're going to be bringing in a little bit more, and we can just see how that goes. But I'll send that around. We can look at that at our next meeting.
Has the mayor signed the ordinance? Is it
yeah, it's
yeah.
Posted on the city website and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, another thing, when people come in for modifications, I just brought up when Julie had sent this out on July 12th. You know, people want to come in for a modification for order conditions or whatever, it's going to cost them for each time they come in. For a change,
right,
not
amendment.
A lot.
There's
but
a different amendment. Yeah.
Well, that's fair. They
yeah.
You know, they need to think it through the first time they do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about a filing fee for an extension request?
There is one already.
Government
I
extension.
I think it's 50.
$50.
Yeah, and that's what the current fee is.
How about certificates of compliance? Is there an application fee for that?
There was, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is. I think that's also $50. Or maybe it's more than, maybe it's $100.
I was just thinking of
it's
the
25.
One we had tonight, which was a partial, and so they have to come back for another one.
Yeah.
I know.
But again, that's not our fault that they
right.
didn't do everything. That,
right.
You know,
do we have it listed as 55 now, or is it? Are we proposing?
This is that.
I mean,
this is the thing that says, it says 25.
That's our current
fee. It probably is our current.
I have a feeling our fee is more than that currently for our certificate of compliance. I think it's at least 50. It is 50.
Yeah, I thought they just put a blanket $50 charge on everything when they
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
I think we should be charging 50 every time somebody has to go out and look at,
yeah,
do a
be
site
50.
Visit. You
50 should sort of be the minimum unless it's
yeah,
like
I think so.
Really minor. I mean, maybe an extension. Well, an extension should also be 50. It's been 3 years at that point.
I think an extension should be 50 for
yeah.
sure.
Yep.
If not even more, I mean, an extension on a notice of intent, because sometimes
yeah.
it requires like a whole new review of the file, and that can
yeah.
take a lot of time.
Right.
Of your time.
Right. Checking to make sure the boundaries.
I mean, we're still nowhere near those New Hampshire dump fees.
What are the New Hampshire dump fees? I don't remember that. What are the New Hampshire?
Oh well, you know, because they don't have a state income tax.
Oh
so
right,
you know,
right.
Charging, you know.
Charge you for everything
so
else.
Sure.
Everything else. Big time.
It's all user fees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhat arbitrary, too. Because I took some stuff at the dump up there a couple of weeks ago. He looks at it and he says, that's $50. But I'll give you a break. It's only 40.
Yeah, really?
So
it's
guy,
really actually 20 and he's talking
well,
$20.
The guy...
If you're paying cash, it's only
there.
30.
Yeah. There's another guy there unloading his pickup truck and he said, how much did he tell you that was? I said, 40. I unloaded this here 2 weeks ago. He charged me $75.
Wow.
Just
yay.
Well,
live free or die.
Yeah.
Right. The rules.
It's also that whole trash thing, you know.
Okay. The rest is the same.
So you're gonna tweak the Plum Island business and
yep.
recirculate this?
Yep. And I'll also recirculate the fee schedule. So we can continue this to our next meeting, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see if we're going to have a fee schedule, I'd like
yeah.
to see us get it done and adopt it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, check the thing that Julie sent out.
Yeah, but I'll resend it. It's easy to do that. But I think you need to vote to continue.
Guess
motion to continue.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
Joe, close your ears.
What are you talking about, the landfill?
Did Andy or the mayor schedule that meeting that he was talking about?
I just heard about it today.
Oh, okay.
There's no scheduled meeting, but Andy told me. The mayor's actually away this week. She's on vacation
oh.
after Yankee homecoming, I guess. But, so apparently Andy's trying to set something up for when she gets back.
Okay. I forgot to send you those pictures I said I was going to.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
One was, the burrow pool is still a stand of Phragmites in there.
Okay. Yeah, and Mary Rimmer is in charge of that project still. So.
Is she ever going to get paid?
I hope. But that's probably the, if there's a problem, that might be the reason why.
And they haven't fixed that erosion. There's still that, there's bare plastic out there.
They were doing so well for such a little period of time.
It's a shame they went bankrupt.
Huh? Yeah, what a surprise.
Yeah.
Are they bankrupt?
Yeah.
They went bankrupt. That was, I'm sure, part of the grand plan.
Yeah, all the time.
Always.
So it looks like the city's going to inherit the landfill problems, huh?
State, somebody, I don't know.
Well, there's still a fund.